Friday, Torah Meshach, Chof Ches, Shvat, Tovshin, Ayin, Tes, Reb Motzi Posen.
Everyone knows that Shulchan Aruch is best divided into four sections of Shulchan Aruch. Is Arachayim, Yeridea, Eben Ezra, Chosh Mishpat. And each one deals with a different aspect of life. Arachayim is day to day, Sitzes, Tefillin, Davening, Shabbos, Yom Tov, Erevin, day to day living. Yeridea is what you can eat, what you can't eat, Hichas Tahara, Hichas Avelis, things that we can and can't do. Chosh Mishpat is business. And Eben Ezra is marriage. Now in Yeridea, it starts off with Wasf Cholav, Deikah. Then after that, I guess the Rabbanon's first class was Shechita, how to shecht, Melicha, how to make sure there's no blood in your animals. Then comes the Basel Cholov, once you have your meat, you can't mix it with milk. After that comes a whole section of Rabbanon's. Many examples Rabbanon's made, Rabbanon made, negated to many aspects of food. So I want to discuss two of these things today, which can't be very negated, more negated than you think. We'll discuss a couple of examples. The first one is, Chazal said, it's not the first, there's all different ones. There's Pas Akum, Bishal Akum, Cholov Akum, Gvinus Akum, Chemo Akum, Boshe Sin Salam in Ayin. If you eat by someone else, can you trust his food? All different Xeris Drabonans. So one of them is, there's a Hissa Drabonans to do business with non-kosher food. And if you want to buy some non-kosher food and sell it on this also, you can't do business, you can't buy non-kosher food in order to sell it. Can't be very negated, there's many aspects of life. The first shayla that comes to mind is you deal in horses, or you sell rabbits or hamsters, little pets. You own a pet shop. Can you buy pets and sell them? Someone says to you, no, you don't even deal in pets. You deal in buying and selling. Someone says you have a whole shipment of hamsters. You can sell hamsters. So can you sell hamsters or not kosher? Can't eat hamsters. Horses, you can't eat. Can you sell, buy and sell non-kosher food? So something that's entirely not used for eating, well, not entirely, mainly, it's viewed, horses are viewed as something you buy for farming, different aspects of things you can do with horses. It's not definitely for eating, or mice. Some are trying to get rid of the mice, some people want to buy the mice. Hamsters, these things are bought as pets, goldfish, kosher. Other fish which are used as pets, that's okay. Why is that okay? Because it's not a food item. It's something that may be edible, but that's not why you buy and why you're selling it. So that's okay. Another aspect of pets is you want to buy pet food. You have a dog, you have a cat. You want to buy animal food for your pet, and the food you buy is not kosher. It has in it nevelis, treifas, may contain meat. Anything which has in it something which is not kosher, you can't buy it. So can you buy it to feed to your animals? Another shayla. Very many shaylas then come up. No, not lois chalim. Lois chalim is something else. The chalim is that you can't have, you can't give something to a guy as a present. Here, Chazal don't want you to buy this. Machlokes Rishonim is why? Mainly because they don't want you to come to eat it. If you deal in it, then it comes to the Shaila Amzifik. You get it free. Bottle of wine comes to your house from some goyish company. What do you do with it then? If the reason why I can't buy and sell, so I shouldn't come to eat it, then how can I ever have anything non-kosher in my house, in my car? So that's the ikkar there. You're worried you'd come to eat it. It is related as well as Machlokes Rishonim. Some Rishonim holds it's related. We don't need to have too much to do with goyim. Sorry? Oh, so if it's because you make up to eat it, then yeah. It's because you're dealing with going more on a, when it's non-kosher food. You're right, pet food should be, yeah. It could be if the pet food is entirely not possible for human consumption, it could be okay. That's a good point, and I think of that. Could be, yeah. If you buy something which is be'etzim roi for both, Chazal kol isus klovim, which is something for dogs, but the Gemara says if humans can eat it as well as different din. So if it's entirely unedible for humans, could be better, yeah. Good point. But if it can be eaten by humans, it'll be also. Generally speaking, we keep away from these things. As someone actually told me, joke, there was a Jew, Hindu, need to get excited, a Jew, Hindu, and a guy that walked along, and they got lost. They had nowhere to go, no hotels, knocked on the house, so can I stay? I said, sure. The guy said, come inside. The problem is I've only got two beds. So two people will sleep inside, one in the barn. Oh, you know the joke. So what happened was the Hindu decided he'll go to the barn. 10 minutes later, there's a knock at the door. That there's a cow in the barn, holy cow, the Hindus, I can't sleep in the, next to a cow. So he came inside, and off went the Jew entered the barn and came back, said, there's a pig in the barn, I can't sleep with the pig. So fine, the guy went, 10 minutes later, there's a knock at the door, there was the cow and the pig at the door, can't sleep there with him. We keep away, from these things, and Akasha, you can't have anything to do with them, we can't even deal in it. Okay, so that's negated to buying and selling for business purposes, things which are not dafka edible, horses, you own a pet shop, fish, rabbits, mice, hamsters. The Shulchan Aruch points out, Kedar Ramah, it says you can't even give us a present. A present that was also, is also business related, as everyone knows, right? You give a present to someone, it's not because you're a nice guy, it's because you've got vested interest and you hope to advance your business opportunities with this person, so you give them a present. So a present is the same as payment. That means I can either come to you and pay you wages, or I can come to you and give you extra £50 on the quiet because you know that I'm going to need you. Or I give you a present. Comes Purim, comes whatever, and Yontif, and you come with a massive present. Big Shlachman is like, why is this? Because you want us to continue our business together. So it's all business related. Mela, a present is the same thing. Now, this is more to get to workers. If you have a worker where you want to give a present because you want to help your business, then that would be a problem as well. It was actually negated to me when I bought my house, then I got from the bank a bottle of wine. It's interesting how they view things. You know, you borrow money off them, you pay them back double what you borrow, and all you get is a bottle of wine. Now, this wine obviously was not kosher wine. So there's a bunch of shailas here. Now, what if you say, like we said before, problems you might come to drink it. So the remorse is you're not allowed to keep something non-kosher in your house. That means you're not allowed to sell it, and even if you're not going to even if you want to give it away or chuck it out, you got to do it as fast as you can. So there's a bottle of wine you can't keep in your house. Number two, I knew I had workers coming in a couple of weeks. I thought, great, keep the wine, give it to the workers. So two shares, can I keep it? And two, can I give it to the workers?
Because opportunity, making a bit of
Then that's different. That's different. We're going to get to that. That's different.
Okay.
So he already pointed. He pointed out the heti here. The heti is the Shulchan Aruch talks about nizdamen. Nizdamen means it came to you. When something comes to you free, being a Jew, we don't say no to opportunity to get something free. It's free. So if something comes to you free, and it's damn, the classic example Shulchan Aruch discusses is you have someone who's a hunter, and he wants to hunt some kosher animal, and along comes, no, he's going fishing, right? He wants to catch salmon, beautiful, no problem at all, kosher salmon. Puts down his net, pulls it up, and out comes loads of non-kosher fish too. That's his damn. His damn means it came to you. Chazal will never mechayev you to take something which you had and just be a dime, throw it away. The guy as well, many times, Cholomoyt found the same concept. Someone had a shayla, a guy came for a gas leak on Cholomoyt, one of his tenants, and he fixed the gas leak, and then he told the landlord that you need a gas check. I'll do it for you now, when we're here, I'll do it for you for £20. No, it's 50, I'll do it for £20. So you want to know, is that okay or not? So, what's the shayla here? Begs him to invite someone around to do a job for you on Cholomoyt's also. So at the time, what was the heta? Hey, oh, he's there anyway. And if you tell him to come back next week, you're taking another £30 and putting it in the bin. Because next week will be £50. If something's built time, you don't have to throw it away. So in Nizdamun, you found something non-kosher, it came to you, then you're allowed to keep it. And you're even allowed to sell it. Shach Graz Machmi, he says, only someone who's a hunter by trade. That means your job is to catch fish or hunt animals, whatever you deal in wine, and along comes non-kosher wine, then if you've got it, you're not mechuyev to get rid of it. But you're not allowed to go and become, you know, today I'm a hunter, and today I'm going to go catching, today I find a non-kosher animal, then the shech's machmed, cholkev on the shech. But be'ikah, this head applies to someone who's, that's his line of business, that's what he does. And if something comes along your way, which is bad, also, once I've got it, there's no chiyuv to chuck it out. But to go along and find something which is non-kosher, now it's examined, now maybe worse according to the shech, so that's the head over here. Why? Because the wine came to me. The bank came, gave me the wine. So the zaman, I didn't go buy it, didn't ask for it, I didn't want it. Along came the postman, brought me a delivery, opened up, inside a bottle of wine. That's the zaman. Now it's mine, it came to my rishus. Then there's no issue to sell it on. So if I have workers, you have no problem giving it on. The problem is, the remorse is you're not allowed to keep. He talks about animals, right? The remorse is talking about you catch, you put out your net, and out comes some non-kosher animal. Let's make it simple. You catch your horse. All right, you catch horses. But let's say it's a horse. Says the Ramah, don't keep the horse by you and fatten him up, and make him bigger and greater, and then you'll sell on for a profit. Even though we send this damon, if it came into your hands, you're not going to chuck it. But you've got to get rid of it on a normal level. You can't start saying, "Huh, now I've got it. Let's build on it. Let's make it bigger and better. Find two horses, get them to mate." You can't start growing this issa. So now the shaila is the Ramah's problem that you're growing the issa? That means I'm making the issa bigger and better, and I'm getting more value for money from this issa. What is the Ramah's problem that you're keeping the Issa by you? The Ramah says like this. He says, you're not allowed to keep it by you and grow it. So what's the problem? Keeping it? That means I'm not growing it. I'm keeping this horse for 2 years' time. I know the market will be better then, and then I'll sell it. Oh, the Ramah says, that's okay. The problem is if you fatten up the animal, that's the problem. What's the problem? Keeping it or fattening it? No, you're allowed to feed it, but the Ramah says you can't keep it to death to fatten it. So Rosh Hashanah points out, the problem is to fatten it. Why? He says, this animal's worth 100 pounds. If you fatten it up, it's worth 120. You have now grown, you've got aponim chadoshes. You've got another 20 pounds here, which you didn't find. So if you just feed it normally and it grows as normal, that's okay. You're not mochiv to make it die. But if you do it purposely to make it grow and invest this Issa and make this Issa grow into a greater profit, that would be awesome.
The trade of fish I can't give it.
Sorry?
The trade of fish I can't feed it with. Normal.
Yeah, whatever's normal to keep it alive, that's okay. You're just keeping it alive. But if you're doing Hadas, now I want to, you buy an Issa, and you find, let's say, a male and a female, and you start saying, let's grow them, and make sure, Gans Mishpuch here, and we'll make more money, that will be a problem, because you're growing the Issa. Ponim Chadosh is a new thing here. But if you're just preserving the Issa, till it comes a time, when I want to sell it, that's okay. To feed the time, the problem is you may come to eat it, you may have to get rid of it as soon as you can. Also, are you allowed to keep it? I know that tomorrow is going to be worth more than today. Rosh with me, I had this wine, so I wasn't growing the wine, I was just keeping it. I wasn't fattening it, just holding it, that's okay. But on the other hand, you've got this in your house, you make them to drink it. Maybe you should get rid of it straight away. So all these halachas are toilet big machlokes, and because drabonans, there's many different shittas go different ways, and if it does happen to you, you should find out exactly how to do it. You find these, a lot of times you buy little packages, and there's one light bulb company, you buy light bulbs from, you open the box, and now they always give a packet of little Haribos with it. A lot of companies do it. Grab the candy on Pesach, a double Pushaila. So now a little packet of Haribos. So you know your goiter's coming now, you give it to the goiter. Maybe not, maybe you got to get rid of it as fast as you can. So all these negate to this Shaila. You're keeping it for business purposes, would give it a present, all these things would be awesome. But if you're doing it, if it's this time and it came to you, I didn't have a choice, then it's okay. Oh, there we go. So someone mentioned, yeah, the Shaila, that there was a time where Tesco were giving points if you buy the ready-made, the homeless style, just not homeless, the non-kosher meals in Tesco. That means if you have the little ready-made meals, there are airplane meals in Tesco, non-kosher, and you got a tremendous amount of points for buying them. So someone wanted to know, can he buy these meals? And then I'll chuck them out, I don't even need them. He said even he bought them and he left the trolley there, he didn't even take it home. But every meal you buy, you cash in loads of points. So here, I'm buying it, one hand I'm buying it, other hand, I'm not doing it for any non-kosher food business. I've got nothing in mind here, rather I'm just trying to get my points. So it's a good child, I'm not 100% sure, but I would assume it'd be awesome. Why? Because here is what you're buying in Issa, in order to make profit's points. Even I'm leaving the food in Tesco, I'm not even taking it out. But here I'm spending money, and I'm buying something non-kosher, and I have an interest here to gain on it, to build on it, earn points. The chayot would be the same Issa. Mal if I buy it and sell it 2 weeks later somewhere else, mal if I buy it and get points now. It's irrelevant how I do it. But it isn't. Sorry? So that is a little bit better because you're not buying it. There's no Issa baliotcha. There's nothing. I'm not dealing with Issa. I'm investing in something where they deal with Issa. It's again as well to.
It doesn't make a difference how you pay for it. Paying a credit card, you haven't even been kind
of. Right. Maybe you're buying it. Yeah, there's many aspects of Shaila. Like he mentioned as well, you want to get a job at McDonald's, you got a good Jewish boy, he's got no job, he gets the doll, he gets the job center, and they give him a job at McDonald's. So here I'm dealing with non-kosher food all day. It's not mine. I can't eat it. So it's a twist on the same Shaila. How to work? Is the problem that you may come to eat it, so you shouldn't be able to work at McDonald's? Is the problem that it's a little bit complicated how it works? What exactly is the get of the Issa? Okay, I don't know if you're for that. The Yid's going to come and eat by McDonald's. Hopefully that shouldn't be turned again, but if it does happen.
Making a cheeseburger.
Yeah, your problem with making a cheeseburger, that'll be Bishel. So that grounds is not such a problem because if you ever had a cheeseburger, which I'm sure you haven't, I've seen one up close, they're not that. The burger's not. It's not as good as it looks on the picture. So it could be there's not much heat that would make it visual. So recently that after the whole story in Monty with the meat, the guy was selling the non-kosher meat, there was some bachrim who lost faith and felt, you know, the same in a very imkabaz, I've already done it, I might as well go and enjoy myself. And he said, look, we've eaten Travis all these years, it's ridiculous, we're going to buy McDonald's. They went to McDonald's, it's a true story apparently. They went there and they ordered something, they're sitting down, and this guy came over, you know, shaven head, looked like a complete guy, and he said, Gloy me is nish kedai. Thank you. Apparently, it's a true story. Off they went back to yeshiva. You never know. Yeah, but they thought they're miyash. He said, you know, there's no point. That's the joke they say. A guy came to the McDonald's, wanted a cheeseburger with a mezonos roll. Some of them, they knew there was no such thing. Okay, so that's a mizdamen. If it's mizdamen, then you're okay. Then you're okay to keep it and sell it on. But you should get rid of it as fast as you can. There's a big problem. Actually, there's a big problem. I was walking past McDonald's many years ago, and I saw some Yidden sitting there eating, and I couldn't believe it. They told me, no, we ordered only the chips. True story. I mean, we ordered only chips. And they asked the chips how they fried. And they're fried in vegetable oil. All no problem at all. So I was thinking, fine and dandy, you've got separate keli. Don't worry, there's no contact with meat. It's vegan safe. No problem at all. And they fried the chips in regular oil. And many years later, I was reading, actually, Chatoyin Maske, I was reading the Reader's Digest, and they asked to interview the head of McDonald's, and they asked him, how come your chips are so good? They're great, these chips. How come? And they asked another question. When you order chips, they have a 30-second policy. When you order chips, they're ready in 30 seconds. He says, no, we have something called a double fry technique. We fry it once in the factory in animal fat. We fry it again on site in vegetable oil. So these chips have been fried twice, once in animal fat, once in vegetable oil. I said, legally, that's called vegan. That's no problem at all. So these chips would technically be a problem because they've been fried once in animal fat, and again, yeah, they'll make you flesh as well. Okay, Bishlaki, like you may be able to get around. No, so I told someone, he said, no, but the second time they fry it, they kasher it in the oil. See, where do you get lumps like that? So you got to be careful, you know, even though you think something's okay. Someone's actually telling me on Shabbos, the many items, I think, it was actually mentioned here in the Shir, in the Yachikala, many items contain glycerin. And there's animal-based glycerin and there's vegetable-based glycerin. And he's telling me many of the vegetable-based glycerin comes from vegetable oil, which has been recycled. That means they go to McDonald's, get a vegetable oil, which they've had fried in their meat and all sorts, and they recycle it, and it's a third of the price. And many companies are buying up the glycerin. Vegetable, vegan, no problem at all. You think, beautiful. Little do you know, they've extracted all the meat from it, but they may be bliss, or maybe there are bliss in the oil of animal fat, and you're eating that, so you got to be careful. Not always everything that looks as rosy as it is as rosy as it looks. So you got to be careful. So that's our experience at McDonald's. But normally, you want to work at McDonald's, it's the same shaila. Can you work there because you're dealing with non-kosher food that's not yours? I'm not buying it, I'm not selling it, but you're dealing on a day-to-day basis around the clock with non-kosher food. Okay, so that's the shaila in Zdaman. Along comes your bottle of wine, free from your bank, or chocolates from anyone. And you do, like we said, you're allowed to sell it. This diamond, it came to you, you're allowed to sell it on. The problem is, I don't deal in wine, I deal in something else. My line of work is something else. I don't know where to start. I wouldn't know what the market is, I wouldn't know how to sell it. It could be much more than a guy. You buy a farm. Right? As the Jackie Mason says, you won't find a Jew working on a farm, you'll find a Jew buying a farm, he may sell a farm, he'll never work on a farm. So you buy a farm. You buy a farm, you want to know, it was a good deal. You went to the auction. You bought a farm. It's amazing what you do in your years in yeshiva. You buy a farm, now you've got this farm, you don't know how to sell farms you deal in regular real estate. You don't know what it's worth, you don't know how to deal with it, it's full of non-kosher animals. You want to sell it off. Now you know, you've got a friend down the road, he deals in farms. So can you sell it? Reuven sells it to Shimon, and Shimon will sell it on. Can Shimon buy off Reuven? Reuven said, this diamond, it came to him, okay, not cheap, let's say it came to him. Somehow he won this farm, right? Something happened, I don't know, he got it free. A bunch of non-kosher animals got it free. A bunch of non-kosher wine he got free. And he wants to sell it on, but he doesn't know where to start, he doesn't know how to deal in this stuff. So he has a friend, Shimon, who deals in wine. He specializes in wine, specializes in non-kosher animals, in horses, whatever it is. Horses may be okay, it's something that's mamish treif. And used for food, so you want to sell it to him. So now you can sell it because it's diamond, but can he buy it off you and sell it? That's a big challenge here. He has no reason to buy it. He says, I can't buy non-kosher food. He says, yeah, but I'm allowed to sell it. So fine, you sell it. Why should I sell it for you? I don't know how to sell it. It's not my line of work. I don't deal in this stuff. What should I do? So can he sell it to the next yid and he'll do it for him? So here the poison point is, machloek is like everything, but most of the poison point out, there will be also, you can't sell it onto him. Because you had the heter to sell it, fine, because he was Nizdama. He can't sell it. The Eitzer is, what you do is you sell him, look, you sell it for me, and I'll give you a percentage, I'll pay you per hour, whatever you want. But it remains mine until the sale goes through. And that way I'll pay you as much as you like. But it's not as though you bought it off me. To him to buy it, the also, you're selling it via him, and he takes a percentage or a wage, whatever it is, rather than selling on to him. That'd be a problem. Which as well could be very negair. End up saying, not kosher, big shipment of non-kosher stuff. You can't sell it on, but you ask him, can you sell it for me? Another shailin as well the Shekhanach brings down. A guy owes you a lot of money and time drags on, you don't get to see your money. One day he says, look, I can't give you money, but I'll give you a whole shipment of whatever, I don't know, pork meals. So here the Shekhanach says you're allowed to take it. Why? Because if you don't take it, you'll probably never see your money. So again, it's like this damn, you've got a matzav here where you've lost money. The way to recover your money is to take this order of non-kosher food, and if you want to be very machmir not take it, you'll probably never see your money. So Shekhanach says here as well, you're allowed to take your money. Because again, it's like a loss. Every time you've got a loss, or there's damage, or something happened in a way that without this you'd lose money, or without this you'd be throwing money in the bin, then be okay. So in this case as well, you'd be allowed to take the food from the guy, because otherwise you might never see your money owes you.
Can you take it from a yid? Yid owes you money.
No. A yid would be a problem. Firstly, he's got a problem giving it to you. It's a good one. Okay, it's a good one. We'll have to think about that one. He may be different. The big hat about all these things, which covers most things, is very negative. People have goyim, they have workers, cleaners, builders, and they want to give them presents. You want to go to the Jewish shop, we know how much it costs. So you go to the non-kosher shop, or Halpin's, which is also very cheap. And do you want to buy chocolates for your goy? So either you can buy them for £35 in the Jewish shop, or you can spend them for £2.99 in Sainsbury's. So how does it work? I actually had workers by me for 7 weeks, and I decided I want to buy, give them every Shabbat, every Friday, cover Shabbos Kedesh, give them something. So I went to Sainsbury's, and being here, I said, you know, this is, I'm not spending too much on them. Decided I'm buying 7 items for them, nothing more than £1. And it was amazing. I managed to buy 7 things, £1 each. It was all on offer, it was good stuff. I was thinking this in the Jewish shop wouldn't have cost me £7, well, maybe £70, maybe more. So you want to go to the kosher shops to buy for the goy. Now here we said, you can't buy something non-kosher to give to a goy, to give to anyone, his business, present, sell it, anything will be awesome. So what's the head here? The head which applies to many, many things is, that you're allowed to deal in Issa Drabonon food. Now if it's Issa Drabonon, it's Cholov, Cholov Akum, Cholov Stam. Anything which is Issa Drabonon is okay. Now most chocolates will be Issa Drabonon. The one exception is wine. Wine is only Issa Drabonon, but wine is a special chumra to it. Because it's a gate to avoid Zora, so wine would be also. Someone actually asked me recently, he wants to buy a bottle of champagne for one of his goyim. Be a problem. Wine is a problem. But chocolates, which is usually Drabonon, is okay. Oh, so now, I saw once a box of chocolates, it's extremely interesting, very unappetizing. And every flavor in this box, and the frog flavored, and snail flavored, and pork flavored, and all different flavors in this box. Now, if you find such a box of chocolates, so usually there's not very much. There's nothing at all in there for the real. It's like you buy these powders as well, soup powder with beef and chicken. It's all powder, it's all vegan. But if you can have something in there, then you'd have a problem. Because you may have basil cholov, you may have something else in there. They cover them in oil, you don't know what oil they're using. All these things may be a problem. But if you know there's nothing in it besides milk, then it'd be Issa Drabonon, it'd be okay. So that's the basic hat. You go to hospital, you want to give doctors, nurses, workers, employees, cleaners, food, presents, chocolates, no problem. Drabonon is always okay. Daraisa would be a problem, be also. If the Shulchan Aruch discussed as well, if you buy a farm, and on the farm there's all types of animals, and there's also non-kosher animals, then it's okay, because you're buying a big package deal, and within the package is something non-kosher, that's not your ikadas, that's just something on the side. So do these chocolates. You buy a box of chocolates, and maybe if one of them is a flavor non-kosher, could be tavis hetra as well. 99 chocolates are regular, it's Drabonon, which is okay. One is their Issa chocolate, that one's not my das, that chocolate is not the one I'm buying here. It comes with the package, that may be a hetra here as well. But normally you buy chocolates, buy regular normal chocolates, or buy kosher chocolates, meant to support our economy apparently. So you buy the kosher chocolates, you have no problem. But if you buy kosher chocolates, non-kosher ones, only Drabonon, no Issa Daraisa. Someone actually had a shaila, he said he had a worker by him. And, you know, I worked here in England. He said, you know, we've got to go for lunch. So lunch can sometimes take up to about 2 weeks. So he told him, you know, you stay here, I'll go buy you lunch. He says, no problem, go to McDonald's, cheeseburger, chips, can of Coke. So you realize, whoa, I want to get to McDonald's, I'm buying non-kosher food, I'm giving it to my workers. How's that work? So the Ramon says, it's machlok the Ramon Shech. The Ramon says, to buy non-kosher food to feed your goyim is problem. Says the Shech, what do you mean? When I build, I buy bricks, I buy cement, I buy McDonald's, it's one of the ingredients I need as a fuel to power this building to get it going. So I feed them, that's how I, these things called workers, you feed them fuel, that petrol, McDonald's. Says the Shech, I'm using it for building, I'm not using it as food, as a present, as a wage. But the Ramon asks, machlok the Ramon Shech, Lemaisa, you shouldn't do it, the best option is, you give them the money, you say, you go buy it. Hopefully they'll come back sooner or later. Or, well, no, I was going to say, you pay on the phone, that'd be a problem as well. If you pay on the phone, you're paying with your card, and you call a McDonald's, make an order, and pay on the card, and they fetch it, it would also be a problem. You tell them he should pay on his card, and you could pay him cash afterwards, pay him back for the meal, no problem. Cost you £10, I'll give you £10. But it shouldn't be that you're buying the McDonald's food, you're buying the non-kosher food, and thereby buying the Issa, and feeding your workers with this stuff.
You don't know what they're buying, you just give them the money to buy what they want.
Yeah, that may also be okay. You never know. They manage to buy tons of, I don't know, Coke.
You give them £20, you buy it.
Yeah, that'll be okay. Also, you don't know where they're shopping. If he tells this guy, at the Shaila, the guy said, order me McDonald's, or you go fetch it, I'll carry on working. Then you have a problem.
If you buy something online,
that
comes into your shows.
So there, Lemaisa, you're buying it, and it's your purchase. It's purchased to be awesome, even if it doesn't come to your shows. That's the reason is you may come to eat it. But even if you don't come to eat it, it would still be awesome, because the Issa Chazal made. That's just the reason for the Issa. So the purchase will still be awesome. Again, if it is negated to someone, and they have a big opportunity, something's coming, make a lot of money, it could be something which is awesome, find out, because there's a lot of machaliks in here. And at all times it'll be mutter, even though you may not realize it'll be mutter. So always check up exact circumstances. And at all times it'll be awesome, you may not think it'll be awesome. You always got to watch out. Comes the non-kosher food, pause, careful what you're doing. Okay, that's one issa. We said we're going to discuss two issa. Sorry, we're running out of time. The second issa, which is very, very again, that is, boshish sinis alibinayin. You have meat at home. You're going to come on Friday and you have there your liver and cholent and chicken soup and chicken and schnitzels and meat. All your stuff for Shabbos. And you have your going to home, you go out. Take the kids to school, your wife's out, you're out, the kids are out, and they're going to the... What's the halacha with that? There's negated many things as well. This is not only issa d'oraisa food, like meat, even drabonon, pas, cholov, all these things are a problem as well. I was actually walking past Halpins once, and I saw the order came, Woodbury Down from London, and I was actually looking there as well. You've got a kosher driver, incredible yid. But how did it be a kosher driver? What would be the halacha? He sent down these rogalach and cakes from London to manage to London. Oh, it's all sealed, beautiful. Now, the cardboard boxes actually were not sealed. The four flaps were just folded into each other. And inside you get a little box of rogalach. Now, why did I start checking? Because the day before, someone had a box of rogalach and koilu. And someone said, where's your seal? So I showed them, look, you've got the plastic container, plastic lid, on top's a sticker, and the sticker has two flaps that come down onto the box. Now, I said, look, here's the flap. He goes, is it sealed? I said, sure it's sealed. He goes, is this the way it was done in the factory? I said, sure, it's sealed, hasn't been touched, you can guarantee it. He says, that's very interesting, because I actually had three rogalach from this box already. And I resealed it. If it's a seal that you can reseal without anyone knowing, it's not a seal. So these boxes, which you can easily reseal a sticker, which is stuck in the materials, are worth nothing. There's no seal at all on it. The seal, you just flip it back down, and that's not a seal. So you got to watch out. How it works. So the grad, the Woodbury Down, apparently is a year that drives them down from London. But if you have a goy driving down, you have a big problem. You've got pass with no shema. I was in a chasna last week in London, and the rolls, the chalas came late. Eventually I saw the truck pulls up, and the goy runs in with the box. They were late. There was a big pressure. They ran to the bakery. The goy brought them in. And I watched him from the lorry to the tables. There was a box, open box, bunch of chalas inside. A big problem here. These chalas may not be kosher anymore to eat. Fish, meat. Oh, so that's the first. The first answer is, no one's making kosher food. No one's making food like the way we do it. You buy a schnitzel, you buy a challah. It only, it's something I remember in camp many years ago. In camp, we were in Scotland, and we wanted bread, challahs. We went to the kosher bakery there, and we took over the bakery. And they actually did it. We watched them, and we showed them how to make challahs. And it was a very exciting experience for them. They spent many, many days trying to perfect it till they got the challahs looking half like ours. But the way you didn't make food is a very unique way. And it's hard to find something that looks exactly the same. So that's the first setup. It's got to be that's probably different and something they would struggle to do or something that you recognize. And if it's something like that, even a piece of meat, you have a challah on your stove and you go out, you come back in, there's a guy there. If the challah you know was like a funny cut or chicken, shrimp, whatever it was, you know it was like a bit interesting, it looked like a funny shape, and you recognize it, then you're okay, no problem at all. If you don't recognize it at all, it's bread, loaves of bread, biscuits, roglach maybe as well, a little bit of a Jewish food. But something which is could be Jewish or non-Jewish, there's no telling at all. Such food is left in the vicinity of a goy, be'etzem be'asa. Oh, so there are many, many, many atayim. We'll go through slowly. Oh, yes, another many, many atayim. That's why it's kedai to know. Usually it'd be okay, but you always check up why it's okay. Usually it'd be one of the atayim we're going to discuss. The first heter is, which is the biggest heter, and covers this usually across the board, where there's simchas. A guy in Israel, I remember, the shayla was by a rov, and he called up. He got a delivery of fish for a simcha, a bing bar mitzvah. He had, I don't know, 60, 70, 100 pieces of salmon, and it was a goy brought it, a goy from the place where they were made till the hall was a goy. You want to know, is it okay? So the first heter is, the goy has to be nene bechalipin. He has to have a hano in the fact that he switched this for non-kosher. Now normally if it's the same similar price or you can get hold of both, there's no reason for him to come and take yours and put something non-kosher there. It's got to be there's something about yours which he doesn't have. Either he can't get hold of it in the non-kosher shops, which is extremely unlikely, or it's got, I was thinking about this guy driving down from London with all these rogalach and breads in the back of his van, milk, cheese, butter, whatever it is. If he's on the way, he's not driving along the M6 and he's starving hungry, he gets pulled over, takes some rogalach out. Then when he comes to Manchester, he'll figure out, he'll go to, I don't know, Sainsbury's and put them back in. So that could be his nene b'chalipin. He's in a matzav now, he has no food besides the kosher food, he's starving, hungry, he wants to eat it, and thereby he'll be able to refill it later with non-kosher food. So there, that may be a nene b'chalipin, but normally if a goyit in the house is a nene b'chalipin, she doesn't want your shalom for any reason, and even if she would want it, she's hungry, she's not going to be able to get non-kosher and put it back in. And if she comes with non-kosher, she'll eat a non-kosher. She comes with her sandwich, she doesn't say, hey, let's switch it for yours. Why should she? You don't know if you're choishish, there's no hanoi, no nene b'chalipin. If there's no nene b'chalipin, that's the first heta, why it's mutter. So most times you have a goit in the house, usually there's no nene b'chalipin. And it's not even shech chalipin, because she wants to switch it with. She can't switch it, what's she going to switch it with? In a hamish shop, piece of meat, so she'll eat that. Why should she take yours? Someone has a svar, maybe she wants to taste what Jewish meat tastes like. Okay, I guess even goyim are smarter than that. The very little we do better than them when it comes to food. So why should she, chicken, meat's meat, why should she say, no, a Jewish schnitzel, ooh, why should, you gotta be chosh for that, has to be some real hanor she has, something that you've got to offer, which she couldn't get, that would be a problem. But normally there's no hanor here, so you'd be okay. There are many other terim. Another one is yitzv nechnas. If you're shomer, you're in and out, that's okay as well. That means you come home, you take the kids to school, you come back in, you come for breakfast, you go back out, you pop in and out of the house. Yotzev Nechnas, another Etzah. As long as you're in and out, she knows that any minute you can come in, she can't lock the door, she can't lock you out. If you're locked out, you have the key, that'd be a problem. But normally, no problem at all, you're in and out. So someone had a shayla just last week, he wanted to know, he moved in, he moved to a new house, and he's moving his stuff over, so he moved the freezer full of meat over to the house, and those builders in the house. Now, you got bossa here, in the freezer, workers. So here there's a bunch of atayim. One letter is, if it's in a place that the goyim are not meant to go, when all chaj they go. I mean, if the goyim is in the kitchen, she's touching all your kelim, which she shouldn't be anyway, because it could be you'd have to catch all your kelim if she does that. Then you have to be chaj. But if it's in the freezer, why should they go to the freezer? You come to places where they've got milk, and the goyim take milk from the fridge, then it's a little bit trickier, because she does have access to the fridge. But freezer, they're not touching the freezer, you're going to be chaj, they touch anything in the freezer. The problem is this guy, he said to the builders, I'm going out now, I'm going to fetch the kids from school. You can be sure it's at least a 20 minute, half an hour job. And he gave the builder the key to lock up, would you go? Here's the key. So the builder knows the guy's out for half an hour. He knows that he's the only one with the key to the house now. The youth can't come back in, even if he wants to come back in. So now it's much worse. You have no hesitation for nichnas. You have kilu locked yourself out of the house, left the goy there with the food. You have a problem now. So here as well, you're going to come back to the main head of Nene B'chalipin. There's no reason to assume this goy wants to take your schnitzels and then replace them with something he buys in KFC later. Why should he want to do that? He's going to go if he wants food and get his own food. He's no hand nor duck of your food. He could tell him maybe he's starving now and has to carry on working, but even so, it's unlikely. He can go out, wants to go, he can go buy food. There's no reason to imagine he's Nene B'chalipin. So you'd have that head to here. There's no hand off him. But really the best it should be Yotzev Nechnas, you should keep going in and out. And should never be a situation where you've locked yourself out and there's no way to come back in and the builder or the goy or the king or whatever is there by themselves. Lamaisa, if it's a deraisa of the food, like meat, bread is drabonon, pasakum. But if it's deraisa like meat, then you need two seals normally, if it is you are transporting with the goy. Big shali how it works, you get the pack of cold cuts. Those pack of meat, ready to eat, you open the plastic, if you take the plastic off, there's one seal. So where's the second seal? So you see the stick is the second seal. The problem is the stick and the blessing come off together. So that's one seal. Where's your second one? So here the pshat is, partially you have to say the pshat is, that if the guy would take the plastic off, he'd have two problems on his hand. Number one, getting new plastic on top of the gold coat. And number two is getting a sticker. So even though the two seals are not holding him back, but how is he going to arrange these two things together? So he gets to milk as well, the milk bottles. Milk could be only drabonim, because the gazir was made as a great drabonim. But the milk as well, he'd have a problem here with the milk bottles. If there's only one, if there would be no seals at all. Usually they're allowed one seal by the milk, because only drabonim, there was the big... I don't know if you, anyone knows, but they changed over the milk recently, about 3-4 weeks ago now. Because what happened was, there was people who made a big fuss about it, give you a little bit of the story. There was one of the Hashem used to do milk in three different farms. Used to have farm A, B, and C. But off the Hashem went. Farm A got it started, went to farm B, carried on, went to farm C. So there were people who were not happy with this. He said, once you go to farm B, farm A knows, that's it. Half an hour, 20 minutes, whatever. You're away, you're not coming back. So you have no Shema on site on farm A. Then he goes to farm C, farm B knows, no Shema on site. What's the Tzadfakez? Tzadfakez knows, he's in and out. What's the Yitzhak V'nechnas? I'm in, I'm out. So I'm by A, I'm by C, I'm by B, I'm by C. I'm back to A. And if I want, I'll go A to C. Then go C to B and go however I like. I go however I like. Yitzhak V'nechnas. There are people who didn't like this, so one of the big milk companies here in town changed it. And they went to one farm where they do the entire batch in one place, rather than jumping from farm to farm. But that's the Shalir as well. Yitzhak V'nechnas. How far do you take it? What's called in and out? If the guy knows it's a 20-minute drive, is that called in and out? The Gemara says, but you ought to sit right by the milking place. You have to watch it. The Gemara says, you're right there. Any minute you pop up and you go look, that's okay. Any more than that would be a problem. I would know it's for Nechnas. So now it's the Shaila here. How do you view it? Some people say it is good. Some people say it isn't good. But already you get into politics, which we're going to avoid. What's there to buy food in Delhi and Dine? I think there's a guy that serves there. So that's the heter. There's people there, it's all over Faket. They put the glass windows now on the side, which really help. Because even you walk along Leicester Road, there's constantly a shoyim, there's always people around. Besides, you've got the cameras, even without the cameras, you've got people walking past, people in the shop, people serving, people selling. Therefore, it's constantly being watched and monitored. So there's never boss to Shin's Alam and Iron. There's always some yid who has his eye on the meat and watching it the whole time. It's not the great if you go out long term. That means if you go out the house and you know you're not back the whole morning, that's not great. The best is that you tuck it in and out the whole time. But if you do go out, that's it, you marshal, you leave the goiter there with the meat and you're going to London, that's it. You ain't coming back for Shabbos. And later on, your kids are coming home. Now, if the goy knows, that's for sure no good. If the goy doesn't know, you're not in and out. I'm out and I'm staying out. So Shach says, b'diavad, I'll work too, as long as the goy doesn't know. It's not like hatchilas, b'diavad. When you're out, to stay out, as long as the guy doesn't know, if the guy knows you're out and he's staying out, then it'll be a problem, because he knows he's free to go and do what he likes, that'll be a problem. Okay. Mm-hmm.